We are part 58 this morning. There's about probably 50 parts more to go. Part 58.
Part 58.
Okay.
We got it. I don't want to do that for months. Ecclesiastes. Page 751 if you've got the right Bible. One exactly like mine. It must be exactly like mine. Ecclesiastes. Or the preacher. My Bible says in the title. Did you all say that up there? That's interesting. Okay, here we go. We're just going to zip through this thing. There is a lot of proverbs in Ecclesiastes. Proverbial wisdom in this thing. It would be based on worldly attempts at having everything, but still, he's learned some good lessons. And if I was actually serious as a Christian when I was younger, even as I'm older, or getting older, I would learn from Ecclesiastes, and I wouldn't have to go out and do what everybody wants to do. Because we can find a man who had everything, had all the wisdom, and went out to the world, got everything, he got everything he wanted, and he said it was all, what? Vanity. So, if our young folks here, anybody below 58, could learn from Solomon here, they wouldn't have to go out and do what they got to do to learn what we've learned at our older age. It's all just amazing. So there it is in Ecclesiastes. Let's just read a little bit. There's no way we're going to get it all done. I might touch some of it tonight even. But here we go. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Who wants to go to that church? I mean, there's no fun in life when this guy... What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh unto the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he rose. There it is again, the sun going up and going down and all that stuff. But we could say that this would mean anything. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. They could have learned this a long time ago. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again. So who's going to worry about the oceans melting, you know, and all that stuff? It's just crazy. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. You ever hear somebody trying to snoop in on your conversation? You ever watch them? They're just, whatever. I know, so it's like when I come over, but I try to get away from that. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Who was the third pastor here? In fact, who was the first pastor that got this place started? I know. Isn't that a bummer? I mean, here's the guy that started this place in the 1800s, 1898. I got it written down, too. How come we don't remember this guy? I mean, he started this thing. What a neat thing that he started. And they don't remember him anymore. We have no idea. So when that guy died, I started this place, and I'm sure they'll remember me. My name is Mr. Church. They named it after me. So, just like it says, there is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are come. Oh, wow. So if we have a fire, you can put it out, and if we have furniture, you'll bring us some furniture. Yeah, by the way, Kevin chairs there. Look at verse 12. Let's keep going. Now, this is what it would be without God in our life. We can learn this. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. That's a pretty good spot. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all all things that are done under heaven. Verse 13, Ecclesiastes 1. This sore travaileth hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, he must have had the cable. He could see all the channels. He's seen everything. ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, you know. Yeah. That which is crooked. No, wait. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. And that which is wanting cannot be numbered. There's no end. I mean, you go shopping and you got all the best deals you could get. Next day, what is there? There's another brochure, 15 cents cheaper, and you're irritated. They didn't tell me about this. And you go back and buy some more. But anyway, that's what a lot like. I can't be just picking on the ladies. We get a new hammer. You use it once, it's used. You need a new hammer. This one's got a softer handle on it, see? They just work that thing. Anyway. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Well, that's true. That's Proverbs, you know. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. That's important to have that experience there. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So really, what's the point? Stay in bed your whole life. But, no. Look at chapter 2. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. Okay? And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven of all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Does any of this stuff look familiar? You know, I made me gardens, Mrs. Burt. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water, swimming pools and everything. To water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees, irrigation system. I got me servants and maidens, nowadays called slaves according to the world out there, and had servants born in my house. That's okay. Also, I had great, you know, they have servants born in your house. You've got quite an operation to have. Anyway, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Cattle ranch, yeah. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. Even got a cassette player, CD player. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts, all kinds of music. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. That's something right there. Wisdom remained with him. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. What a thing. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the foot walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happens to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of wise more than the fool forever. See, I mean, no difference. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore, I hated life. This is one unhappy guy. I mean, he tried it all, and he's unhappy. How many people have everything, more than we have, and the whole deal, and they're miserable? Obviously, you wouldn't know it by talking to them. I'll give them time. Verse, therefore I hated life, 17, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that should be after me. Right? Right, Lewis? 50 years and some other little whippersnapper is going to come along there and do it better. It's all set up for him, you know. Jerry's leaving the, Louis, I mean, you got this farm going. Well, no, Bill. Bill got this farm going. Pass it on to Louis. Now Louis's going to work this thing to death, and then Sam and Austin get it, and going to forget. What was my dad's name? I think it was Louis or something like that. He didn't know how to do this farm right. You know, then you're going to have kids and pass them on down. Same thing. Anyway, this is how he perceived this whole thing. So he hates life. So, here we go. That's the setup. What Ecclesiastes is all about. Now, vexation. It's in there 10 times. Vexation means to irritate, to make angry by little provocations, to plague, to torment, to harass, to afflict, to disturb, to disquiet, to agitate, to trouble, to distress. So, that's vexation. Yeah, his spirit was just hammered. It was just challenged, disturbed, disquieted. It was agitated. It just bothered him. Did we get that way? And then vanity, 28 times is in this little bitty book. 28 times. Listen to vanity. And what do they call the thing in the bathroom? The vanity. Okay, I wasn't sure. I took mine out. As you can tell. Emptiness, want of substance to satisfy desire. Fruitless desire, trifling labor that produces no good, emptiness, untruth, empty pleasure, vain pursuit, idle show, unsubstantial enjoyment, ostentation. So what do I have to do? Look up ostentation. Ostentation, outward show or appearance. What do you do in that mirror? You get the outside ready to go. And I get to go to church. Put a little bit more on for today, because I don't want to, my frown's got to be, that smile's got to be frozen a little harder today. So I'm going to see some of the brethren today, so spray it on there. You got hairspray, now we got face spray, so we can keep our smile, you know. There it is. Makes it till about noon, because when some of you leave, it washed off. Anyway. Ostentation. Ambitious display. Now, how long are you in there? And men, don't laugh at your wives. I know some men that can spend a long time in there, too. I think there's one right over here. Got to get that one right there. Whatever. Ambitious display. Display of anything dictated by vanity or intended to invite praise. Tended to invite praise. Why do you do this? Because you want to be praised today. The Ecclesiastic is kind of a crummy book, actually. You know? Although you look around sometimes and some people aren't inviting praise at all. It's just kind of what? That's the natural me. What can you do? Here's a good one. I like this definition of back to vanity. Inflation of mind upon slight grounds. There's a lot of inflation going on in America these days. Just go to the county fair. Two kinds of inflation there. Empty pride. Inspired by an overweening conceit of one's personal attainments or decorations. It makes you think you feel like you're a Christmas tree. You get up in the morning and you hang the streamers and the bulbs and the cords and all this stuff, and I'm ready to go and get out there and boink, lights are flashing. Everybody look at me, I'm here. And what is that? That is inflation of mind upon slight grounds. You take this stupid little tree and cover this thing pretty and say, that is a nice looking tree. Needles falling off it. Anyway, so that vanity and vexation of spirit is what is in Ecclesiastes through and through. Now, let's look at chapter 8, verse 16. And we've already read a couple of verses where Solomon thinks of himself. He's full of wisdom. He's had it all, rich and everything. Here's just one more reference. 8, verse 16. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night see if sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. And he applied his heart. I mean, he said, my heart is in this. It wasn't just playing the game. My heart, I'm going to go out there and find out what this world has. My heart is in it. He wants to get it. So, look at chapter 12. We read a couple of verses also. What he says the conclusion of the matter is, but here's his official one. Here we go. Ecclesiastes 12, okay. The last two verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, which with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, that's very true. That is totally true. But you have to know rightly dividing to know which one, how that's going to be applied, right? Otherwise, you pull up the Ten Commandments, the Leviticus, and say, I got to do those. Otherwise, you pull up the Gospels. I got to do those. We do know that every work is going to be a judge, whether it be good or evil. Good or evil. How can a good work be evil? It has what attached to it? Sin. So yes, it says, I think he says in Romans, I think it says there too, that we'll be judged based on our works. It's just that our works have no sin attached. And if it's a bad work, it'll burn. So that still is very true, but you have to understand rightly dividing. Now, I would, we've been over it twice now. I'll read them to you again. I won't stop and study them again. We might do it tonight. I don't know. And that's the fact that all of our philosophies of this world are in Ecclesiastes. And if you haven't done the study yet, it is very interesting to find man's attempt at wisdom. That's because he went through all this. So if he's been through all this, he's been through all these isms. There's materialism in here. And I got the verses written down for the website. People study them up, find the verses. But I don't want to park on that this morning. Materialism, educationalism. Everybody thinks material, you got to have stuff, or education is the answer to everything. There's one in chapter 2, verse 3, learn by experience. That's the only way you can have life. Anyway, here's the isms. Phenomenalism is how you see it. Pessimism, otherwise known as Eeyorism. It's a very negative, gloomy view of things. Chapter 2, verse 20. Fatalism, in other words, it's predetermined by fate. You have no choice in life. Egotism, it's all about yourself. Pragmatism, if it works, it must be right. Agnosticism, no truth, no God, it's just how you perceive it again. Theism, or Zoism, theism, the belief in God, all of God, everywhere kind of a thing. Naturalism, all explainable by natural causes. Pantheism, worship of all gods. Deity is the universe. And so I stopped and looked up a couple of these and found some sites. And I mean, there's some really wild sites out there on the internet. And I looked up a couple of pantheism sites. Here's what they say. This is their quote. At the heart of pantheism is reverence of the universe as the ultimate focus of reverence and for the natural earth as sacred. There is a scientific pantheism. It's called Pan, P-A-N. You know him, right? Named it after Peter? Little queer kid flying around on his wings or whatever? Tights. Is that, isn't that wings? Isn't it? Tinkerbell, okay. Now they're all the same.
Except from the same cloth.
Yeah. And Pan has a naturalistic approach which simply accepts and reveres the universe and nature just as they are, promotes an ethic of respect for human and animal rights and for lifestyles that sustain rather than destroy the environment. Wow. You're probably a pantheist with a fire because you always try to put it out. I'll bet you do. This is a nature crowd. When scientific pantheists say we revere the universe, we're not talking about a supernatural being. We're talking about the way our senses and our emotions force us to respond to the overwhelming mystery and power that surrounds us. We are part of the universe. Our Earth was created from the universe and will one day be reabsorbed into the universe. And they're serious people, too. I mean, and the government loves them. That's what just bugs me, but anyway. Yeah, well, you can, but... Here's another ism, paganism, chapter 4, verse 2, no religion based on personal pleasure, that's hedonism. Deism, God created, I'll let it all go on its own. You know, aren't you glad that your mothers don't cook like that? Stick it in there, get it started, say, okay, dinner's ready, whenever you want, and then leave. They don't, do they? Okay, communism, collective ownership, labor for everybody gets a chunk kind of a thing, right, as the government gives you, because they know best. Capitalism, a free market, make it work for your efforts. Now, within that capitalism, there's altruism, the doctrine that the highest good is service to others. Objectivism supports a free market with no government intervention. Objectivism opposes welfare programs, censorship of any kind, both military and natural service drafts. These are their wordings. It supports a strong separation between church and state. But they got some problems within there. Rationalism, reliance on reason. And they state that there's reason over authority, experience, or spiritual revelation. Let's see. Reason over authority. That's what's happening to our Bible people. Bible education is putting reason over the authority of this book. Well, that may be what you think it says, but that cannot be what it means. I got into some good conversations last night about fessing your sins. Fess up your sins there. And there's some stuff about Paul. From our guys. I mean, they just really hate Paul. It's just amazing. And they had no answers to any of the questions he asked them. Zero. But they still don't see it. Anyway. Objectivism, I did that. Rationalism, reason over authority. So that's the Bible crowd, this Bible study college crowd. Experience is how they base their decisions. That's Pentecostals. Watch the TV thing, they've got all these experiences they got to have. That proves this, right? And then you got the spiritual revelation, it says. They reason based on spiritual revelation. I call that the Great Commissionism. That's what they do. They base their what God shows them and gives them. Anyway. Skepticism, doubt, stressing uncertainty to opposing dogmatism. Absolute knowledge is unattainable, they say. Modernism, departure from the traditional way. You know how many people are going to vote for Hillary just because she's a lady or a woman? You know, lady, but she's a woman. That's the only reason they're going to vote for her, because she's a woman. We need a woman in there. Boy, that is intelligent, is it? Intelligent there. Existentialism, a philosophy that, chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. A philosophy that emphasizes the uniqueness and isolation of the individual experience in a hostile and indifferent universe. Regards human existence as unexplainable. Well, we've been through that. Just look at your kids and go, I just can't yet explain you yet. I just how do you Well, the kids, starts their parents. I just haven't figured you out yet, Dad. You told me that the other day. You're still trying to figure out your parents. Yeah. When you figure it out, let me know, right? And here's what they say about their existentialism things here. The message of existentialism, unlike that of many more obscure and academic philosophical movements, is about as simple as can be. It is that every one of us as an individual is responsible for what we do, responsible for who we are, responsible for the way we face and deal with the world, responsibly for the way the world is. It is, in a very short phrase, the philosophy of no excuses. We cannot shift that burden onto God or nature or the ways of the world. That's what they say about existentialism. It's all, you're on your own. Do your thing. And then Solomon says, it's all vanity. Okay, so I think that's very interesting that here's this guy that's got everything, and he goes through all these different isms, trying to figure out wisdom. So we know that. We got the book. Now, here we go. This is what I call ecclesiastical wisdom. There's proverbs in Ecclesiastes, and they're applicable. For example, here we go. We'll go through the rest of this morning with these things. Got a whole bunch of them. Here we go. First one, chapter 1, verse 15. We have to challenge a verse here. He says in chapter 1, verse 15, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. We know differently. It can be made straight. Where do we learn that? What? I know. Go ahead and say. I think you're right. Right? It's in the hand of the Messiah, and the crook, it shall be made, or something. You know how to do it? No, okay. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. So, yes, it'll be straightened out someday. And what was it, Nixon? He was not crooked. He's not a crook. So they're crooked. And God straightened them out. God will straighten everything out that's crooked today. But anyway. Chapter 3, verse 21. Now, we won't stop on this one because I'm working on it. I got to thinking. This thing says here in 3:21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Mommy, where did chips go? Is there a dog named Chips? Killer. Yeah, Chips. We had Chips. Who's all had a dog named Chips? I think everybody named their dog Chips. Wood Chips, I guess. Where do they go when they die? Do they get to go to doggy heaven and all this kind of stuff? No, the beast goes downward to the earth. But that whole thing about the spirit of man, that's the spirit of man, not the spirit of God, but our spirit. And I've been wondering about, where's our spirit come into this thing? So look up a bunch of verses, and it's kind of an interesting rule. So we'll talk about that someday, soon actually. Maybe tonight, who knows? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. And you can do it yourself. You're not cripples. Get out your concordance, type in spirit of man. Look, there's not that many verses. Chapter 4, verse 1. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. See, we have a comforter. Spirit of God gave us the Bible. That's where our comfort set is, in that Bible. Poor guy. Those people had no comforter. You ever needed a comforter? Nobody came over. Pastor didn't even know I was in the hospital. Well, did you tell him? But anyway, you got a Bible. And what is going on in so many Bible churches today is the comfort is the pastor. And they get sick, he's got to go over there. Something happens, he's got to go over there. He's got to call, he's got to do all this kind of stuff. And these people that have these kind of pastors, as much as they love the pastor loves the people and the whole thing, the comforter is supposed to be the book. Got to be able to dig that book up. And we'll try to visit. You got church people, and I'll try to visit when you get sick. You better come rub my feet when I'm sick and everything. But the comfort's in that Bible. Help is a comforting book to you, not just always a slap in the face. Here's another one, chapter 5, verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Now, you know, that's Old Testament. So where is the house of God today? So we realize that. But we ought to be able to be ready to hear what God has to say. Where do you hear from God? Reading your Bible. You all by your little lonesome. So you're the house of God, and are you ready to hear what he will show you when you're... That's what Solomon's saying there. Then to give the sacrifice of fools. And I look at that sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. And now look at chapter 7, verse 5, and I'll give you who I think this could be referred to today. Chapter 7, verse 5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for man to hear the song of fools. You know what's going on in all of our modern churches, and even more and more Baptist churches all the time, and just churches today? It's all music. And it's just the song, it's the song of fools. And it says there, they consider not that they do evil. They have no clue that they're doing anything wrong. How come? They worship what? An unknown God. They have no clue. And so they figure that he likes this music. So this whole little section here, those churches are sacrifice of fools. And I'm not saying that, you know, judgmentally or whatever. I'm just saying it. It's foolish. Because Acts 17 straightens out the thing about music and worship. And going to church to see God today, no, he's right where you're at, if you've got him at all. So anyway, here's some stuff there. The sacrifice of fools, modern worship today. Look at chapter 5, verse 2. Here's some proverbial wisdom from my Ecclesiastes. Be not rash with thy mouth. Does not say, have not rash on mouth. It says, be not rash with thy mouth. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. But now here we go. Takes us back to Wednesday night. We talked about our mouth. We just say things too quickly, and we wished we hadn't said it. Wished. Is that that a word? Wished. Wished. Okay. Wished or wished. We wished that we hadn't said that. We're just, he says here, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. I have been thinking about that all week. If we could all just knock down our mouth about 80%, I'll bet you half our troubles would go away. I mean, they just flat go. Now, why did you look over there when I said that? I like to say things and watch things, you know. Or are you looking away from your wife because you're too chicken? it's just so true, you know. But anyway. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Just too much. And yet, if you don't say something, I hear people say, can I talk about this with people? And they say, well, you know, if I don't just keep yakking away, they think I'm sick, I don't feel good. What kind of a testimony do you have? I mean, it's always talking. And just listen. Don't say anything, don't laugh, don't point any fingers, but just listen to people. You get in the car, just take note. Is it you that got it going, or let somebody else get it going? And just say, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. anyway. Boy, I could talk on this, couldn't I, you know? It's a lot like me in a barbecue. One of those round jobbers with the little briquette things in there. I'm just thinking this here. Because when I do those little things, you know, you got to soak them up a little bit. And then you light them, and they finally, here comes the talking. And then what is the most fun thing to do when you're having a barbecue like that? Take that little can of whatever that little squirt stuff and you go, and step back before it comes up the stream, you know, and just watch, there it is. You know what that is? That's somebody who's talking, and then you step into the picture. There's more. And if you're not careful, there are people that have come back and burn them, right? You write up that little screen, whoa, that's cool. Then you're on fire, and you get burnt because of something you said. You didn't need to say it, did not do any good to say it, and you did, yeah, anyway. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty. Just think about it. Yeah, but if I think about it too long, I won't get to say anything. Ta-da! I'm sure the world will go fine without you. A couple words there. A fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Is that what I'm doing right now? I'm just a multitude of words about... Okay, I get on with it here. Chapter 5, verse 10. Here's another one. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. For he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? Do you have your little riches and coins and a bundle of money or a billfold full of hundreds or whatever? Or you know, what do you like to look at? This is what this is saying here. He that loveth silver, you're never going to be satisfied with silver. And if you have abundance, you're never going to be having enough. You know? And I feel like I'm talking Proverbs here, but it's not. It's Ecclesiastes, because he's been there. He's done this. Yeah, I don't believe it. I'm going to try it. When goods increase, they're increased that eat them. See? And that's Costco. You see Costco in that? When goods increase, because you get them in bigger packages now, they last longer. How many of you know if they don't last longer, they just, and what happens here? They are increased that eat them. We buy enough food at Costco to last for months. It never makes it to the next trip to Costco. What that is. We don't want to waste it. How much postage it is to send food to starving kids in India? Here's my favorite one. Chapter 6. Or one of my favorite ones. Chapter 6, verse 7. Now, maybe I'm just making a confession here. Maybe this isn't y'all, but... You skinny folks, you need to get busy working out there. And us middle-aged fats, just kind of in between, worked a little bit too hard. There's some guys that have really worked hard. The labor of man is for his mouth. Why do you go to work? To eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. I guess, not in America anymore. If you don't work, you make more money. Isn't that crazy? Is that what the way it is with you? I mean, do you see that? You're going to spend the rest of your life trying to make enough money so you can eat. And according to the one before that, you make too much money, what are you going to do? You're going to buy too much. What are you going to buy too much of? Socks? Yeah, food. And what do they call the food that we don't need? Junk food. That's all right, though. And then it says there, and yet the appetite is not filled. And you're not full. So, you ever been there where you eat and you're full, but the pills you're taking, you just keep eating because the appetite is not, you just keep eating. That's my excuse. What's yours? I love this Ecclesiastes has been fun. See, Proverbs is wise wisdom. Ecclesiastes, he's been there. He's done this. But then again, as parents, we realize that they don't care what we've learned. Grandparents, the kids, and your kids, and what your kids aren't going to care what you're learning either. So don't try to think you're going to be doing better. They're not going to listen to you either. Who's on there this morning? Oh, they are there, huh? Okay, well. Did you hear an amen come through the speaker? We quit listening to you, Dad, as around 12. Here's another good one, chapter 7, verse 1. And this is all about death now. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Which is why I don't think much of birthdays, because I just think we just lavish our children with spoilage, and they act like idiots, and then they don't remember what they got for their birthday, and it just goes on. And, you know, here is a brand new baby, 1 month birthday. Does this kid care? I mean, he's got a half of a one on the cake burning, and this kid is just can't do it. This birthday stuff is for the parents. It's not for the grandparents, because we give them stuff all the time anyway. So every day is a birthday for our grandkids if you see them. Hey, Paul, you guys want some more bullets? Send you some bullets. How about some BBs? You know, I sent them, when Marilyn was down, I sent them a whole bag full of sugar in different various forms. That was nice. The grandparents can do that. Parents can say no and look really horrible to the children, but the grandparents, we can do that. Anyway, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Can you imagine a buffet in town? You walk in there and it's all black and dark, and the tables are caskets on legs, you know, and it just makes you think of the death and everything, mourning. It's better to go to the house of mourning. Go to a funeral. Why? Just take your kids to a funeral someday. Just find somebody that's having a funeral that has open visitation and take them and let them touch the cheeks, because my heart like a cold rock on the beach. It's just not there, you know. And let them learn. We have people die in our church and they need to see. You know, your kids need to see me dead. Hey, everybody wants to see me dead. and let them know that that's death. That's real. Because look what it says here. Than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. This is where we end up. So why deny your children the truth of where your kids are going to end up someday? And the living will lay it to his heart. Things just get more serious, don't they? When dad is finally dead, or mom dies, do you know how many people get right with, they would say right with God, after somebody dies? And then they can't tell them about it, and they're it's really sad. Look at verse 3. Sorrow is better than laughter. Really? Wow. For by the sadness of the countenance of the heart, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. If our children are brought up with party and good times and happiness and no disappointment, no, I mean, parents don't want to see your kids disappointed and hurt and, you know, see some sad things. Oh, Uncle Henry died. We don't want to go see Uncle Henry because I don't want to scare my kids. That is exactly what our kids need to see, is Uncle Henry in a box. Because kids, Zach and Danica and Caitlin and Amanda and Olivia, someday, unless the rapture comes, there's always that hope. But trust me, don't wait for it. I've been waiting for that thing for years, and it doesn't look like it's coming quite yet. You are going to just die someday where you just kind of, you're not there. And what you're walking around in, it's just going to be, some guy's going to suck the blood out of your body, and you're going to be hard as a rock, and they're just, and you're not even going to be there. I've done that. I'm going to tell you about it sometime. Now, I'll tell you, nothing, that was a marvelous lesson I had. When I got to gut that human body one day, it was just a marvelous lesson. These hands right here, Austin, have turkey gutted a man. And he wasn't there. And we had Mag Monster, you know the story. Anyway, and that's where you get your lessons. You have a party, and it's okay to smile and have, you know, some time, but what are you teaching your kids every time we have a gaiety party? I can't use that word, Henry. We have a happy time of enjoyment and wildness and loudness and craziness. Reveling, there it is. And Paul says, hey, you get into this reveling thing and you got problems. It's not what God wants us to do. We're supposed to be what? What's the word? Sober. This, you know... We have a serious war going about us here. It is an attack against God. And we know God. We know the living God. We trust in the living God. He has given us His words. And we just deal with it maybe on Sundays, maybe Wednesday nights, and maybe a couple times during the week. But I'm busy. This is serious stuff. So our kids need to learn the seriousness of the times we're living in. I really believe, I think even those little ones right there can learn what's going on in this world right now. Don't have to understand it, but they need to learn about it. And then they'll see how we deal with it. I really don't have a problem with that. Paul, Luke, and Nathan, and Ben, all these kids out there. Who are kids out there? Stephen, sure, Stephen. Can't forget Stephen. And Chloe, well, she's not there yet, okay. You need to know what's going on. Because today, life is just a party. And we're proud of that. And life is not just a party. Okay, let's do another one. Chapter 10, verse 4. Oh, this is going to sound rebellious, this one. Oh, I got a whole time. Oh, I can't get done here. Chapter 10, verse 4. Now, this is going to sound rebellious because we're supposed to obey our parents and our leaders and our bosses and things. But, you know, there comes a time where you need to stick up for what God says. Yeah, do right. Right? Didn't Paul tell us to still do right? Okay. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, verse 4. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place. For yielding pacifieth great offenses. Somebody puts the pressure on you, whether it be, I won't even say it this morning, because everybody thinks I just go after this stuff, but if the spirit of the ruler rises up against you, and you're doing right, and you're convinced by scriptures that you are doing right, and not fighting or rebelling, and that, don't get into that excuse, it says, leave not thy place. Don't give up. Don't quit. Why not? For yielding pacifieth great offenses. Stay where we're at. For yielding pacifieth great offenses. You can calm, you just take it down. But don't give up. Don't yield. Now this is not talking about driving. Okay? If there is a semi on this corner, the spirit of the ruler, you yield. Yeah, but it's not, he's supposed to yield to me. Go ahead and challenge him. Okay. Here's another one. Chapter 10, verse 11. Quick, we've got to finish this up. Chapter 10, verse 11. Speaking of talking too much, ta-da. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. That should be in Proverbs. Yeah, but Solomon learned this. Somehow he learned this in reality here. The serpent will bite without enchantment. I mean, he'll get you. I didn't do anything, Mama. Yeah, but what'd you do? Well, what's the big thing they did at the zoo a couple of weeks ago? The guy that was he killed? I think one of the guys was killed. And they're blaming it on the guys, because they taunted him. Well, hey, build a higher fence. The guy shouldn't have taunted, is that the word, taunted the lion or whatever? But, you know, if that lion can jump, think what he did, tiger, lion, well, you know, kitty cat, whatever, and ate the guy, come on. That lion didn't have to, I mean, I get tired of that stuff. She.
Tiger.
Well, that explains more of it. But a babbler's no better. Goes back to this talking again. Okay. Isn't it good that it's in the Bible? Because then the pastor guy doesn't have to say anything, or the husband has to say anything, or whatever. I mean, there is in the Bible. Now if the pastor would just be quiet and leave it alone. Okay. Here we go. Next verse, verse 12. This is just good wisdom. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. That's good. But the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. I like that. Just swallow up himself. I mean, life is all about you. Isn't it awesome? You're just swallowing up yourself. Do you taste good? Do you cause upset stomach? You know, that's how we are. Verse 13, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. Mischievous madness. Starts off bad, gets worse. A fool also is full of words. Man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? I like these things. Here's another one of my favorites. So, chapter 10, verse 20. I remember years ago when I found this verse, it was just like, oh man, God has everything in this Bible. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Well, I don't know how my parents found out some of this stuff, but they somehow did. Must be that bird. Kids? I tell you, we got all these birds around here? I'll tell you, there's a bird that when you say something about your mom and dad or your pastor, that bird comes and tells me. That's why your pastor sometimes is really grumpy. You know, the bird just tells me stuff. I just don't, it's just, isn't that amazing? You think that happens? Have you ever heard that yet? Ask Sam Austin. Somehow mom and dad find out about that thing. That little bird told me. And I won't get into this one today, but chapter 12, 1 through 7 is absolute fantastic, if that's possible, description of getting old. So we don't want to do that one this morning. And then lastly, chapter 12, verse 9. I've got like 16 bird cages in my office just for all the birds and all your families to come over and kind of sit in there some night and just talk to me. I like that. And I know you're on the hunt for that bird, aren't you? To find that bird. How did you find out about this stuff? I kill that little bird. That's amazing. I'm sure you've heard stuff too. Chapter 12, verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. I'm trying, by the way. I'm attempting to find more acceptable words. Don't you just struggle through your little brain to find acceptable words to tell people about Paul? I don't know how to make it more simple for some people. These guys last night, it's just amazing how their answer had nothing to do with my question. Mess up when you mess up. They just couldn't get it. You try to find, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Where are our best acceptable words? Right here. So that's why I rolled questions back, and I said, they're talking about this thing. I said, well, let me just ask you one quick question, about 12 of those things. Do I have to confess my sins to be saved? And to be forgiven? And if I'm forgiven, does that mean I'm saved? And the answers were just worthless. For our guys. Pretty simple. Anyway, ecclesiastical wisdom. Really good stuff.